Item number 10. All right, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for coming back. We're going to take, item number 10. This is a time and place for a hearing of the California Regional Water Quality Control Board North Coast Region to consider adoption of waste discharge requirements for timber operations on non-industrial timber management plans in the North Coast Region. This item has been properly noticed. Will all those who expect to give testimony in this matter please stand, raise your right hand, and take the following oath? Do you swear and affirm to tell the truth in this matter? Fantastic. We're going to open with Mr. Jim Burke.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman.
Good afternoon.
Members of the board, I'm Jim Burke, engineering geologist with the Southern Timber Unit in the non-point source division. And I'm very pleased to be presenting today.
Hopefully.
We're not there yet.
Almost.
So close.
This is the adoption hearing for waste discharge requirements for non-industrial timber management plans in the North Coast region. Proposed order number R1-2013-0005. And it's been somewhat long in coming, and it's been a, we'll talk about the process, and just right up front, it's a waste discharge requirement. It had been a waiver all this time, so we are bringing WDRs for NTMPs just to take care of the business. In your agenda package, you have the proposed order, the notice that went out to all interested parties, stakeholders, was available on our website on March 28th, public comment period for this most recent version of the order, closed on Monday, April 29th. The EOSR is in the agenda package. All comment letters are responses to comments, and a red line strike through comparison version of the comparing this order before you with the earlier order that was released on January 8th. And I would like to put into the record additional attachments on comments that were received during the first comment period. All the letters that we received, 18 letters, were in the agenda package, and there was attachments from Alan Levine of Coast Action Group and Andrew Orhosky of EPIC. There was a comment letter that came in from Chuck Ciancio. He hand-delivered it this morning, and I've got copies here. Should I?
Why don't we get them passed out now? So this is a written.
Well, Mr. Ciancio actually put in, he had a letter in before, because that was in the response to comments, correct?
He did.
Okay, so this is something new this morning.
This is a subsequent letter. So I will be presenting or giving a brief presentation. I'm just going to go over the background, what occurred, what brought us here today. I'm going to be going over the public comments and our responses to comments, and I'm going to go over the proposed revisions that we made since last presented to the board. Just to recap what brought us here, in 2009, the waiver, categorical waiver for timber operations was renewed. The waiver included category E for non-industrial timber management plans. We expanded the conditions for NTMPs at that time to expand the erosion control requirement, include road plans. We added a condition requiring retention of canopy on streams to meet the basin plan temperature objective. And one of the perhaps most important was older NTMPs that had previously been grandfathered into the waiver would no longer be grandfathered, but we had proposed that they meet the conditions over, they were given an extended period of time to meet the conditions. Shortly after the waiver was adopted, three groups petitioned the state board for reconsideration. Among the issues, one of the primary issues was the NTMPs, specifically those expanded conditions that I had mentioned. Petitioners included foresters, landowners, landowners groups, and CAL FIRE. 2011, the Regional Water Board suspended the new NTMP conditions of the waiver, and it was a temporary suspension that essentially conditions reverted back to the previous waiver, the 2004 waiver. The purpose of the temporary suspension was to give staff time to look a little further into water quality protection on NTMPs, get the stakeholders involved a little bit more robustly this time, and then come back to the board and revise the permit as needed. And here we are today. I put this slide in as kind of the minimum daily requirement of what we want to see in a timber permit. There needs to be conditions, management practices that prevent new creation of new sediment discharges. Needs to be a plan to identify and correct existing sediment discharge sources. We need to maintain adequate canopy on water courses to protect water temperature, prevent increases in water temperature. And there has to be a plan in place to monitor the effectiveness of these other important components. So I guess the task for us was to involve the stakeholders and find a way to get these essential permit components in a way that works efficiently and gets the job done and hopefully works with the permittees. So we completed a draft order, and it was initially released for public comment January 8th. For a 30-day public comment period. We had a public workshop in Santa Rosa on January 24th. During the 30-day public comment period and in writing, we heard comments from many stakeholders with concerns on that draft. Major comments had to do with many people felt that the inspection and reporting requirements were too stringent. There were comments that said, this is a waiver and it looks essentially in substance like a WDR, waste discharge requirements. Foresters and landowners thought that the noticing requirements for timber operations should be more in line with the forest practice rule requirements. And the discharge notification condition that we had in there, that if landowners found new sediment sources, they would need to report to us in 48 hours and follow up with a report in writing within 2 weeks, was a bit too stringent. The common comment that we got was, we should be fixing these things, not reporting to you. And there were comments from environmental groups that the proposed permit does not comply with CEQA or the anti-degradation policy. You guys heard those comments, and at the January 24th meeting, directed us to go back, meet with the stakeholders in CAL FIRE, and work on those comments and take another shot at it and get the permit right. And we did that. We met with CAL FIRE to work on essentially finding ways to just better align the permit with the CAL FIRE THP review process or NTMP review process. And we met with the stakeholder group, held a final focus group meeting on March 13th. As a result of the meetings with CAL FIRE and the focus group meeting, we revised the permit. As a matter of fact, I had brought a proposed modifications to the focus group meeting and essentially came out of that meeting on March 13th with pretty general agreement. And one of the biggest points of agreement was that the permit should be a WDR. That was made possible by the new legislation that abolished fees for timber review from regional boards. We're asking landowners to do long-term erosion control plans, and so a long-term permit just makes sense. So we're bringing forward a WDR. We changed the notice of timber operations submittals to be more in line with the forest practice rule requirements. We modified the inspection requirements. So we were able to do this meeting with CAL FIRE, and their requirements for inspections following completion of operations and for the prescribed maintenance period following timber operations, landowners are required to inspect. CAL FIRE does an inspection following completion. Our inspection requirement is in line with those requirements. We specify a little bit more detail and just clarify that there needs to be the inspections annually. We modified the requirements for discharge notifications, so when we heard the comment, we should be fixing, not reporting, and we have made it so. So when landowners under Tier B, landowners with erosion control plans, anytime they find a new sediment source, if they can repair it within 30 days of identifying, it's repaired. That's what we want to see. If they can't, then it should just be treated as another sediment source that has been identified, included on the revised erosion control plan and corrective action scheduled as is done in any controllable sediment source. And in order to make erosion control plans long-term functional documents that are maintained as current, we included a requirement where we acknowledge that erosion control plans will be maintained generally through notice of timber operations. Some NTMPs don't harvest frequently. In lacking a NTO, erosion control plans should be updated every 2 years or another time frame if that's approved by the regional board. But we added an incentive in there so that landowners that implement corrective action, that fix all their ECP sites, that update requirement goes away. We released the revised permit that you have in front of you on March 28th for the 30-day comment period, which closed on Monday. We received 5 comment letters. 4 of those comment letters were from petitioners, the original petitioners who submitted their petitions back in July 2009. The majority of those are supportive of this approach. A couple of them give us, they have some suggestions, and I believe that their representatives are here, and we'll hear from them. And I'm just going to go over the response to comments. It was put in your agenda, well, not in the agenda package that was released on April 18th, but that was released to our stakeholders and put on our web on Wednesday of this week. There was, I'm just going to go over kind of the significant comments in this most recent round of comments. There was a comment on Hill Slope production that this permit doesn't have, does not control Hill Slope production. This is independent from roads and skid trails, but really just sediment production from harvesting. There was another comment that addressed this issue, and we have finding 11 that essentially is supportive of NTMPs and the uneven age harvesting for these plans, and saying that it's not supportable, that there is lower potential for water quality impacts from uneven age management. We believe that there is, and that's we support that position. And so we think that Hill Slope sediment production from harvesting is generally addressed by this permit and the NTMPs. As I mentioned, there was there are comments regarding the periodic ECP evaluations, and a couple of the commenters felt that it was the 2-year updates were too frequent, although we believe that the condition provides options, and landowners who want to get out of that can essentially opt out by implementing all corrective actions. So we think that that is addressed. One of the commenters wanted just clarification of the scope of the evaluations, and was concerned that these periodic updates of erosion control plans would require essentially a redo every couple years of the erosion control plans, and that's not what we're asking for. Really, it's just an on-site evaluation to make sure that the ECP reflects current conditions. One of the commenters gave their, qualified support of this approach and said it's a new approach and we really need to take a look in a year or two and see how it's working. And I agree completely, and that is one of the plans going forward, is just monitoring this approach and reporting back to the board on how it's working. Just some concluding thoughts here. This, I think that everyone involved in this effort, getting the stakeholder groups together, taking the NTMP tours, I know that we've had the board out, we've had CAL FIRE involved, and they have been very helpful and have provided some very constructive clarifications to foresters, to landowners on what's required. They've worked with us to improve the process for us getting notices when NTMPs are conducting operations, and to get us involved in inspections. It's been a as you know, a bit of a challenging 4 years, but I think that there have been some very positive benefits that have come out of this process. And I'm hoping that we'll be adopting this permit today, and as we move forward and implement the permit, I think that it's going to take some care and feeding, which I plan to do, and we're going to be doing outreach to landowners, foresters. We're going to be continuing to work with CAL FIRE. We're going to be out on the ground a lot. That's my plan. And I plan to report back to the board in a year time frame or thereabouts. So I'm going to, the staff recommendation, my recommendation is that we adopt proposed order R1 2013-0005. I'd be happy to answer any comments or questions.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jim. Hey, I'm going to walk you back a minute. So I'd like for you to, the erosion control plan updates is of interest. I could see, you know, because NTMPs are these episodic and kind of irregular harvests, perhaps, right? They're not all the time. They are, you know, when market conditions or when there's an impetus to do so, they may work in certain areas, all areas. So, you know, there's kind of that dealer's choice in there. Mm-hmm. And the comments that I read about erosion control plan and the requirements to update it, that does ring with me. And so I'm curious about, or I would like you to kind of walk that back a bit and walk us through some of the, how you see, right, there's a bit of discovery that happens about how this is really going to work. The comments, as I heard, really of concern on the concern side is that, wow, that's a real burden here, and that's a cost, you know, and that is an issue. I could see that. So can you walk us through what you potentially see as being the process for erosion control plan updating? You know, we're using registered professional foresters here as being our, you know, registered professionals that are in this mix, and how do you foresee this working? Can you kind of take some of that and expand on it for me?
Landowners can do this work as well. We wrote into the permit that inspections can be conducted by landowners. We want landowners actively involved and understanding the issues, and they're paying for this.
Sure.
To the extent that they have the understanding and expertise, the original erosion control plan that is would be approved and would get people enrollment in Tier B is the master document.
Right.
I have seen landowner developed ECPs in the Garcia, but that's the level of expertise and professional qualification needed to prepare the original ECP, I think, is going to be higher than what's required for the evaluations. We want people getting out there, eyes on the ground. It's really, I don't think it's as rigorous a level of review, these evaluations. It's just getting out there and taking a look. That is how we envision it.
And do you foresee then, I mean, if say a landowner and or a representative or agent of a landowner that had an NTMP did that, what would be the mechanism for either notification of, hey, I found a problem and or I fixed it in 30 days so I don't have to tell you, or I'm going to prioritize these because I have an erosion control plan over a large acreage and I need to prioritize this stuff. I mean, there to me, it would be, flexibility would be potentially key within some of that. Depending upon, of course, you know, we have in certain areas, we have prohibitions against sediment discharge period. You know, the discharge of waste, of course, is a regulated activity. So there are certain levels of regulatory in there at the same time, but this is, as a two-year update, that's a pretty frequent update. That is, and yet you indicated that there could be some flexibility in that, and I guess what I'm trying to get at is, what is that flexibility do you envision? Have you fully thought about that, or we're going to go forward and kind of figure that out as we go? Is that part that we just have to have a little faith on? And by the way, that's okay, I think.
It's both. Yeah, okay. Yes, I've certainly thought about how that would work and the mechanism, and to some extent, we're going to have to go forward, and there is flexibility built into the system. I try to balance the allowing some flexibility and professional judgment. There's going to be some back and forth between staff and landowners and foresters. When there are phrases in this language, you know, as conditions warrant.
Right.
I mean, that...
That's pretty wide.
It's a big one, and...
But you know, I've said before, I said it in January, that, you know, as a registered professional, you know, that the registered professional group, whether you be a professional geologist like Mr. Hale, or a registered engineer, or whatever, or a registered forester for that matter, you know, that's a very serious thing, and that's a professional qualification, and you put your license and stamp behind that, and by God, you have trust, and you have you have duties and requirements to hold that type of license, and that's a serious thing. And yet, if somebody's going to go out and put their name and stamp on that type of document to say, hey, I inspected it, I did a review, I would imagine, you know, that's taken with all seriousness. And how you get, though, if there are issues in prioritization and the fix or the mechanisms that then follow from that type of inspection process are of interest. And as this goes, yeah, as warranted, that gives some flexibility. And I think that's okay again. I think that's okay as long as, you know, again, I think our objective, as you had up here, is protection of water quality, control of erosion sources. I think that's good.
And we do want to engage landowners and realizing that non-licensed landowners it's different from having a licensed professional out there. And yet, I think that the value of having, empowering them and letting them be involved. I have been on inspections where my recommendation was to the landowner, take the Weaver and Hagen's book and get out there, because there's always going to be, you want the trained professionals out there. Anytime a landowner calls up a professional forester, there's a bill that comes with that forester.
Sure.
Whereas if a landowner can get out and get trained up, they may not have the experience, but they can get trained up. And I think that getting them involved, these are non-industrial, inherent in that system.
Well, and if anything, you know, this has been a great journey. You know, I was just thinking back a minute ago, I remember when we were in Weaverville in the snow and we put the pause button on, and that seemed like a long time ago. There's been quite a journey since then. And by the way, I don't think the journey's over, right?
Not at all.
We're still in the middle of it, and that's okay, too.
Mr. Chair?
Ms. Olson?
If I could, this is Samantha Olson, your counsel. I just wanted to back up and give a little perspective for the board in the options that this permit is presenting. So Jim was talking about how we had grandfathered previously approved NTMPs. They had been approved by CAL FIRE. This permit in front of you now allows an NTMP owner to only get coverage from the water board for just their NTO. And then the rest of their property would be like any other property owner in the North Coast, subject to our prohibition in the basin plan, all our enforcement authorities, but basically you wouldn't cover the rest of their entire NTMP, because the concern was, if I have to do an erosion control plan for the entire NTMP, that's going to cost me a lot of money. So that's Tier A. So that's an option for old NTMP owners. And then Tier B is where this issue of the ongoing updates to the erosion control plan, and there was an outcry to that, but I just wanted to remind the board that if you're authorizing discharges of waste from a large piece of property like that, we need to have periodic updates. And so that's where we came up with this idea that you could either fix all your controllable sediment sites with your NTO, because that's when they check in with CAL FIRE. We really try to link it to that process. But if you aren't cutting and you want to be in tier B, which we want to encourage landowners to be in, which is to have an erosion control plan for your whole property, you either need to do all your sites during that NTO or have some periodic updates for the erosion control. And we need that to meet our mandates for anti-dig and meeting water quality standards. So that's where that came into being.
Thank you for that.
And as far as the discretion, they submit the erosion control plan. How that actually works is it's subject to regional board approval.
Right.
And so that's when a landowner that only has, you know, flat, you know, they can make an explanation about why something less than two, you know, every 2 years would work for them based on there. That's where that discretion comes into play.
Understood. Thank you, sir. Mr. Hill?
Yeah. Jim, I do like that you have, we have built in the flexibility for landowners to characterize on their ECPs. You know, if there's one person that's going to know their land the best, it's the person that owns it, generally speaking. And if not, they've got somebody who's managing it or working for them that knows where sites are and what things are happening on. And that was one of the major hurdles that we were grappling with when this, as this has developed, was, you know, how are we able to be efficient? How do we characterize the problem in a reasonable manner while giving some flexibility to the landowner to do that? You know, there are clearly going to be cases where a professional is going to be needed. Most of these folks have their professionals on staff or on retainer anyhow. The buck ultimately is going to stop with you for your review process. Either you're going to find it acceptable, staff's going to find it acceptable, or they're going to say we maybe need a little bit more detail and go back and forth. So I think that's a good process, and I think that's very responsive to the requests that we had as a board as we originally started to work through this. But, you know, I think the other good check-in with that is that, you know, in direct response to comment here, which was for number three for the implementation review, that, you know, you're going to be back within a year, and we're going to see how this is going. So, and we look forward to that report. But I think the way that you've got it set up right now allows the maximum flexibility for the landowner to do that, keeping their costs low, because that was also a major concern. But you still have the review authority to go in and make sure that it's meeting those standards. So I'm glad to see that that got worked in.
Any other questions?
I just had one for legal counsel.
Yes.
I assume that the specific requirements are a condition of the permit.
Yes.
Thank you.
Jim, might I suggest we get, I have some speaker cards. Let's hear what folks have to say today, and we'll come back to you. Excuse me.
Shall I stay up here?
You can stay there if you want.
I don't.
And you don't have to if you don't want to either. I'd remind folks, if you do want to address this issue or the coming two issues, there's speaker cards in the back, and please get them to Patty. So the first speaker card I have is Joanna Rodini. Redoni. I apologize, Joanna.
Hi, I'm Joanna Redoni.
I apologize.
I'm executive director of the Buckeye. The Buckeye is a nonprofit organization of family farm, ranch, forest landowners, and resource managers on the North Coast. We represent over 300,000 acres of forest and ranch land. The Buckeye is dedicated to promoting our good stewardship and its public benefits. We were founded on the premise of maintaining our working natural resource lands in family ownership, and especially for future generations. We raise awareness of the pressures that are forcing families off the land and proactively seek solutions that are common sense and will strengthen the economic and ecological sustainability of these lands. In regards to the proposed NTMP-WDR, the Buckeye really values the time and effort your board and staff has dedicated to collaborating with us, landowners, and all the stakeholders involved who will be directly affected by your decisions. Working together, we have made tremendous progress from the current waiver process and have landed on a much more sensible approach for reviewing NTMPs. The outcome of the time and participation by everyone proves that communication can lead to better understanding and is well worth the investment. As your board's notice of May 1st points out, among other points of agreement which have been incorporated into the proposed order, focus group participants concluded that establishing general WDRs for NTMPs would be more consistent with the long-term planning horizon inherent in NTMPs and associated ECPs. Revised conditions required an inspection prior to completion of an NTO and annual inspections during the erosion control maintenance period, and specify that inspections conducted pursuant to FPR requirements, including CAL FIRE completion and maintenance inspections, can satisfy these inspection needs. The Buckeye especially applauds the rigorous efforts of your staff to align with CAL FIRE's implementation of the Forest Practice Act to produce a sensible approach to NTMP-related protection of the beneficial uses of water. The Buckeye supports the proposed NTMP WDR concept and encourages you to incorporate the concerns raised by California Licensed Foresters Association, Forest Landowners of California, and the California Farm Bureau. And I believe they've all submitted comments and have speakers following me. Their suggestions will go a long way in making this a practical and cost-effective way to ensure the continued use of this permit by conservation-minded landowners. Buckeye remains committed to working with your board and staff in the future and suggests that now is the time to start working on the 2014 THP waiver process. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanna. Any questions or comments? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Jason Baburka.
Chairman Noren and members of the board, thank you for having your meeting in Eureka. It's a much nicer commute for me, being that I work as a forester up in Weaverville, whereas the sign now says as you drive in home with a pause button. Sorry, Jason Poberko. Really, my comments today are sort of off the cuff. You guys have asked Jim to make sure that he came back to the board with something that's going to be workable without a lot of negative comments, and I'm here to say that in my opinion, Jim did a great job. We've got something in front of us that I've been providing comments on for over 4 years now, and we have, in my opinion, a workable document that achieves the desires of landowners and the compliance requirements sought by your board and staff. My only concern is that as we move forward, we've gone full circle from basically needing a waiver to developing, you know, when we commented last time that a waiver equals a GWDR, well, we can pretty much see that that was the case as we've changed the title and a few strikeouts, and we have a GWDR moving forward. The unfortunate thing is that we still have many issues that were brought up by CLFA and other landowners in the form of the petitions with regards to timber harvest plans that will still need to be addressed in the short term. And I'm hoping that this board will realize that the amount of work that's been done by staff and stakeholders groups should be repeated very quickly in soon order so that when the waiver expires next year, the waiver is already sitting waiting to be passed by this board. With that, that's the end of my comments. I'd like to just really point out that Jim's done a great job here, and by all means, anytime that you have challenging issues, stakeholder groups are definitely going to be the way to go to rat out the details, figure things out. Earlier this morning, I can't remember the name of the order in particular, but it was with the cattlemen's associations, and I hope that one day we can have a resolution like that with forest landowners, showing that the grounds for cooperation are there, and I think we're getting closer to that every day. So with that, if there are any questions.
Any questions?
Yeah, I don't think we're too far off, Jason. I appreciate your engagement the whole time with CLFA and the other folks that have been here as the stakeholder groups, because it has been a stakeholder-driven process, and we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't the stakeholder groups that brought it up to our attention in the first place. So appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jason. I have Mitch Hunt.
Good afternoon, board. Thanks for having me, Eureka, since I live here. and I want to say that I was at the Willow Creek, Mitch Hunt. I'm a registered forester and a CLFA board member. I was at the Willow Creek meeting, and my comments were focused on a lot of the upfront discovery stuff. And in the process, Jim's done a great job at responding to the RPF community and our concerns on the forest practice rules and NTMPs and things that we saw as myths and misstatements, and those have all been addressed. I was thinking when Jason was up here, is how do I follow Jason and have a complaint, because he's been so near and dear to the process and engaged. So my only thought is when I read the Tier B portion, Tier B is very involved with an NTMP-wide ECP documentation in which all the sediment control sites are identified with schedules provided for the repairs and detailed repairs that would occur at the time. And so then it follows up with the monitoring paragraph, and it starts out that the periodic review will be for the whole NTMP area, and it could occur and it would probably occur with the NTOs, that it can be a two-year period. And like you touched on there, 2 years is a short amount of time. NTOs and NTMPs over the same area could be, should be several years apart, 7, 10 years apart or more. Then you run into economic times like we have, where the landowners choose to sit on their timber and not be active at all. And so you already have in front of you an ECP schedule that says how important each site is, and a lot of those sometimes are to be addressed the very first year because they are bleeding sores that there's a lot of bang for recovery dollars that go with fixing those. And so the paragraph seems a little bit short to suggest 2 years is okay, with the caveat that it could be changed with agreement. But lots of times we find just different individuals see those periods as different. So there's a little bit, it's good to have the flexibility, but it starts with a two-year requirement and change from that. And maybe it could be considered that since there's such a detail in the ECP that goes with that tier B level, that maybe start with something broader that allows the flexibility to even come backwards, because I could see going out there and saying, well, 2 years is what it says, but guys, we want you to come back every year on this one. I've seen things like that at the THP level. So consider maybe a 5 or a 10 year requirement with the flexibility to come back and forth either way based upon the assessment of the original ECP and the severity of the site.
So, Mitch, to be clear, you're suggesting that door swings both ways, right?
I the way it reads, it swings both ways right now, because it says, it doesn't say, oh, it can be expanded as agreed to. It says it can be changed as agreed to. So that means it could be every 6 months, really. I mean, that's being a little bit flippant there, and I
understood.
But it could swing to a year very easily.
Okay.
Not easily, but potentially. Thanks.
Any comments or questions for Mitch? Mitch, thank you very much. Andrew Orhosky. Followed by Devin Jones.
Thanks. Andrew Orhosky on behalf of EPIC, the Environmental Protection Information Center. I have to echo the comments of earlier commenters that the process that the staff here engaged with stakeholders was very valuable, and we hope to continue that process for other permitting actions before your agency. And I would also like to say that EPIC very much appreciates the creativity and the goals of restoration that many NTMP holders hold and have been implemented on their lands, and that we certainly view them as friends in the forestry world when compared to the big industrial owners that continue to clear-cut their lands. So it's very refreshing to have a conversation with folks that appreciate lack of clear-cutting on the landscape. We did submit comments, and we're engaged throughout the process. Overall, you know, we feel that the 2009 order would be a better order to put in place right now while this process continues. I do want to just bring your attention to response to comments. On page 16, comment number 12, it's in the very back of the package. And it's dealing with CEQA and anti-degradation findings. So it is our position that the agency is required to do an environmental impact report for this action because there is a very low bar, again, for doing an EIR. We may have a significant impact. And many of the arguments that are being made, both by landowners and other stakeholders, would be able to, we'd all be able to flesh those arguments out a little bit more in a more open process in the development of an EIR. Now, the reason I had you turn to page 16 and comment 12 is in the response from staff to our assertion that a fair argument has been made to prepare an EIR. In the first paragraph, staff refers to the 2009 waiver and a mitigated negative declaration. And it's my understanding that that will go away, or already has. It's been stayed, and that by adopting the order today, that will be null and void. In the second paragraph, to refute the evidence that there is substantial evidence in the record that supports a conclusion that water quality will not improve, staff points to the 2004 waiver for some reason rather than the 2009 waiver. We're not sure if that was an error, but clearly the order proposed today is relaxing standards from the 2009 waiver, and therefore the response to comments here appears to be an error to us. So, thanks.
Hold on, Andrew. Okay. Samantha Olson, can I ask you to address those questions, please?
I can, and I helped write that response. And I guess the reason why we're comparing this order to 2004 is that the 2009 waiver and those regulatory requirements were not in effect long enough to actually establish a real baseline. So I would consider your argument to be a paper baseline, which is not what CEQA requires us to compare our impacts to. And so when we talk about improvements in water quality from this order, we have to go to the real environmental baseline, which is the existing condition, which we consider the 2004 order. That makes sense.
And in the 2004 order, did you develop an EIR?
That's not really relevant.
Okay. It was relevant in the first paragraph, which I was trying to point out, is that your response as to why EIR is not required is because you prepared a mitigated negative deck in 2009, but that's going to go away.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, so the 2009 mitigated neg deck did compare the order, the substantive requirements of the order, to the 2004 baseline. And so that analysis is the same today for this order in front of the board. In other words, any proposed changes that would have increased the regulatory requirements did not occur. And so the analysis is still good from today to the 2004 waiver, which is what we did in the mitigated neg deck for the 2009 order. Boy, that sounds really complicated, but in other words, there was no change. There's been no change on the ground from when we did the CEQA analysis in 2009. And so that analysis is still good.
So your position is that there has been no change since 2009, 4 years ago?
That's right.
Okay.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it. Devin Jones, followed by Matt Green.
Good afternoon. It's nice to be up north for once. I'm going to be representing Farm Bureau here today. I was asked to speak on behalf of some of the comments that were submitted by Jack Rice with California Farm Bureau Federation. But that being said, Mendocino County Farm Bureau, Devin Jones, Mendocino County Farm Bureau, excuse me. And what I wanted to basically say is reiterate some of the comments we've heard today about our appreciation for the process that we've gone through over the last few years. I know there were some concerns on our part regarding notifications of NTMP owners from the beginning. I think that Jim has done a yeoman's job of improving upon that database to get the information out to folks, and the working group process has been greatly appreciated. And I encourage you to continue that process and other programs that you're developing. And so I think it's been very productive. So really, I won't go very long. I think that one of the key points that I was asked to discuss, Mitch already highlighted this morning or this afternoon, regarding, you know, possibly the consideration of a longer review period in terms of the ECPs. I know that was one thing that was sort of a clarification on that point. So I won't be a broken record, but I would, you know, ask that that be considered. And second of all, I think that in the response to comments, we've already had our concerns addressed, but I just wanted to make sure California Farm Bureau had suggested that we did the implementation review process probably within the next 1 to 2 years. And I think that Jim agreed to that process, and I think it'll be good to come back and follow up to see how this WDR is working on the ground. And so I definitely encourage that and appreciate that. And so with that, those are my comments this afternoon. Thank you.
Devin, thank you. Any comments or questions? Mr. Matt Green, followed by Claire McAdams.
Matt Green, California Licensed Forces Association, past president and board of directors currently. Mr. Chairman, good to see you, board.
Hi, Matt.
Glad you're all here, and beautiful day, and we're all stuck inside, but it's a good cause. I want to take a second to talk about the last 4 years, just a bright, brief second. And I want to thank you guys for having the patience to really make this process work. I remember 2009, I testified in 2009 before you, and I thought the process was rushed. You know, we basically had the old waiver expiring, and something had to get done, or else there was no waiver, and that's what we ended up with. So thank you this time for taking the time to really hash things out, and for staff, their time and whatnot. It's been a great process. I think we've all learned a lot about water and water quality laws and regulations and the forest practice rules and how they all kind of mesh together. Anyhow, I really only have one comment today about the current order before you, and that is the two-year erosion control period. And this is going to take a few seconds to explain, but I wanted to really give you the technical reasons why we're asking for that. When we do a logging operation, we have what's called a notice of operations. We submit that. We go to work that year. The following winter, we're watching everything. We're maintaining the erosion control measures. And then we file a completion notice, basically, to CAL FIRE that says, we're done. Everything's good. Come on out. Let's do an inspection. CAL FIRE comes out, they do an inspection. From that time on, if you're in a watershed that has anadromous fisheries, you have a 3-year maintenance period on erosion control periods for that logging area. Now, this is just the NTO area. This isn't the whole NTMP area. But so you're maintaining erosion control standards by law for 3 years. It means I'm out there digging ditches, cleaning my culverts, making sure everything is really good. Generally speaking, if something is going to go wrong, it generally happens in that first or second winter when things start to settle, things move a little bit, you know, and whatnot. And so we've got 4 years where we're out there watching every winter. We're required to. We're having inspections. Jim has committed staff, and Fred have committed staff to also coming out now on NTMPs and taking a look at that. So there's 2 years, and 2 years you're already, you know, you're asking for an erosion control plan to be updated every 2 years, and we're out there doing that work every 2 years, or for a four-year period, basically. And so I'm asking for a little bit broader time period. Whether you tie it to a year or a storm event, you know, I suggested maybe at year seven after an operation, you go out and you do the inspection. Or after a 50-year storm event or a 25-year storm event. I think that, and I realize that there's flexibility built into this, but starting at 2 years, that's just a little too soon. I went and I looked at, for example, my home ranch that I live on, 500 acres. It takes me a day to go out, check all the roads, dig all the water bars that, you know, usually fill up and culverts that have problems or whatever. And these are all things that are working, but it, you know, it just takes time to go out and look at them. If I'm going to certify that there are no changes to the erosion control plan, I can't just say that I looked at the roads. I've got to go out and I've got to look at the skid trails too, and I've got to look at my crossings, and I've got to go look at my unstable areas on the property because my license is on the line here. Just like you guys said, if I'm going to certify that there's no changes, then I'm putting my license on the line. So please consider a little bit different time length. I realize this may not be completely hashed out today, but that's the reason behind that length of time. So,
Matt, can I ask you to, I'm going to ask you to walk back a little bit.
Sure.
Talk about what your requirements are 3 years post-harvest. Mm-hmm. What kind of frequency, what area are you talking about covering, what are you doing?
So it's the NTO area that we're maintaining.
Okay.
In some plans, that's the entire property. We cut one unit every 15
right.
years
yeah.
on a 2,500-acre NTMP. That might be one unit, and we have 15 units, so each year we're doing a logging year. So it varies.
Okay.
And so the one-size-fits-all is a little hard there. You know, mm-hmm. And I realize that there is site-specific built-in, or you know, you can propose specifics built into it. But there is no requirement by your staff or by CAL FIRE how often I have to be out there.
Okay.
It is on me to my professional due diligence to be out there when I think I need to be out there. Do I need to be out there if it's raining a quarter inch or if we get a 10-year or, you know, 10-inch storm event? I'm probably going to go check. You know, but also realizing that I can't be everywhere at once. I have 20 or 30 NTMPs total under my belt. It's going to take me a few days to get to all the properties. So
what I hear you saying, though, is you have maybe many factors in there that trigger
Absolutely.
That trigger you to go out and look at these.
Absolutely.
You're not required either through forest practice rules nor our rules on a frequency basis like quarterly or annually.
Correct.
Or something like
I'm required to maintain things, or the first winter the logger is required to maintain things, or the landowner can assume that liability. But there isn't anything set in stone that you will be out there every two-year storm event. The Central Coast Board tried that, and that was one of the things that they realized was not working because you had foresters out there at all times of the night because they wanted it to happen at the peak of the flow. And, you know, how do you judge the peak of the flow when it changes in different areas? And so tying it to a hard, fast number is kind of hard. I can't be everywhere at once, and I don't have staff to be everywhere at once either. So,
but generally, is it fair to say, though, Matt, as an RPF with the 20 or 30 NTMPs that you have under your belt, you're looking at these areas of NTO on a fairly frequent basis,
yeah.
depending, of course, on the variables, right?
Yeah. I'm out there several times each winter. My general rule of thumb is I'm out there once before winter, making sure the culverts aren't plugged, and then I'm out there usually after the first big rainstorm, you know, usually call it the first flush, and then once or twice throughout the winter I'm out there, and that's a significant cost to my landowners to be able to do that. But I feel comfortable after the first couple years that things have stabilized, things have solidified, and that we're not moving. I know I have one or two problems I have to go check, and I go check them. I don't have to go and check the entire property, mm-hmm. which is kind of what the erosion control plan is asking me to do.
But again, as Samantha indicated, that's not entirely true, though. I mean, it's really on you. There is a choice there with Tier A or Tier B.
Only for existing plans, not for new NTMPs. New NTMPs have to enroll in Tier B. So.
Okay, fair enough.
So.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Claire McAdams? And I have one last speaker card after Claire McAdams for James Robbins.
Thank you for hearing us. I'm Claire McAdams. I'm a NTMP holder in Humboldt County. I'm also a board member of Forest Landowners of California. On behalf of Forest Landowners, I'd like to congratulate you and thank you for a really successful for your effort. The focus group, for anybody who was part of it, I think you'll find was really enlightening, very successful, and even had moments of grace that you don't see often in government process. It's quite extraordinary and wonderful. So we want to thank the staffers that were involved, Jim Burke, Fred Blatt, Samantha Olson, and Matt St. John, and everybody else who was part of that. Finally, we want to congratulate the Water Board staff for doing the best they can to align with CAL FIRE. It'll go a long way to giving us sensible regulation. We overall are just very pleased. We had a few comments, and these are those. I'll try to be brief. The first is simply the use of the WDR was made possible because of the funds made available in AB 1492. In case those ever go away, we would suggest that some kind of reserve fund in the agency be set up so that, once again, landowners don't end up having to pay up front because the WDR fees are hefty. We hope that never happens, but economic status varies over time for governments. Another comment, I'd like to just reiterate, Matt said it, other people have said it much better than I could, that I think a longer period for the Tier B inspection period would be appropriate. I have a larger NTMP, and I've got the same kinds of issues that Matt described. And then finally, this is a small thing, but I would also prefer a longer time period than 30 days for a repair. I say that because in our experience, we have situations where we may find a repair that we can't reach because we have to use a road that we are not allowed on until August 15th because of bird nesting or species nesting criteria, and then we can't go on any longer. We can't use more than October 15th or whenever the first rain starts. So we got a very small window. I'm thinking 30 days might be inadequate, maybe if you could couch it more like one season or 1 year, so that to allow for the fact that some sites aren't able to be reached in a 30-day period. With that, I want to thank you say I look forward to the next step, which I think was CLFA, I believe, pointed out to you the THP holders need a solution to their waiver. So good luck. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire. James Robbins, it's the last card I have.
Good afternoon. My name is James Robbins, Deputy Chief Forest Practice at Humboldt Del Norte Unit for CAL FIRE. And I was involved with the local stakeholder group, and I really enjoyed the process, the interaction we had. We had a diverse group. I also was able to participate in the field inspections with the water quality staff. And I think that was a really good interactive process. Under AB 1492, we're supposed to be more efficient, and the agencies are supposed to coordinate their efforts. And I see this new WDR as part of that, you know, being more efficient in state government. So I'm just going to echo Deputy Director Snyder's comments that he submitted, that CAL FIRE supports the WDR.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair,
I'm sorry, this is Samantha Olson. I just have to say that the sound problems are not Russ, our sound guy's fault. And every time the wire cracks, I just see you melting. I'm sorry.
I figured it out.
It's a light. Yes, the light.
It's not Russ's fault.
It's not Russ's fault.
You're in the clear, Russ.
Let the record show.
Mr. Jim Burke. You know, Jim, I was thinking back 4 years ago in Weaverville, and we really have come a long way. I say we, you know, the board's been part of this process. Certainly, it's very gratifying always to hear the good work of staff. And in this instance, you were the tip of the spear. You not only got the best tie on today, but you know what? You did a very good job in this.
And thank you.
I think it's the best tie. But anyway,
I didn't know we were having a
the brightest.
Hey.
The president got in trouble for complimenting people.
We have come a long ways down the road. I'd say we collectively, because I also, in some of the comments that were made, CAL FIRE and the forest practice rules, I believe that this process was very iterative and learning for everybody, including forest practice rules, and the application of forest practice rules, and how we, as water quality, meld within those that universal rules that are already out there. So I thank you for that work, first and foremost, the work that you've done, and that's fantastic. I want to open it up. Does anybody have any comments or questions for Jim?
Mr. Chair, I would also echo what David said. It is just absolutely delightful to have the public come tell us what our staff is doing that is good. You don't get to hear enough of that, and this is a tremendous staff. You guys have done just absolutely wonderful. The fact that you were headed up one road, we're pretty sure you were going to go there, and then listened to the public say, no, we're going to take a right turn here, and we're going to go from a waiver to a WDR, is just immense in its ability to say that we are here to protect water quality. If we can get to that and do it with the flexibility of our staff, it starts with Matt and it goes right on down to the people who do the sound. It is just marvelous to see that. I'm absolutely delighted. I would give you, if it's appropriate, sir, a motion to adopt R12-2013005, but I'd also allow others to
second.
Speak.
I wanted to actually ask, before we go to vote on this, Claire McAdams brought up an issue that I think is, I think it's a minor issue, but about just accessibility to 30 days, about just, if you can't get in there, then what? If you have other requirements, I would like to consider that you amend that very small portion to say, as conditions allow, or as something, to put a caveat there. If Claire McAdams cannot get to that piece of property because she has restrictions on doing so, then we ought to be able to find a way to leave an opening and yet still have that requirement.
And while you're thinking on that, I just want to say that that provision, though, replaced a standard boilerplate provision that we have in our orders about immediate notification of all discharges. And
right.
So just keep that in mind.
Okay.
You don't want to caveat it so much that we eliminate that clause.
Well,
it's very
important. Maybe, Sam, maybe might I suggest is to include a caveat to leave it so that it has some flexibility if conditions allow. But if it's to exceed 30 days, then there needs to be some communication about that. Would that be more appropriate?
Or perhaps with EO approval.
Or something.
Yeah. EO, because I agree. I think, you know, I hear both for what Claire was saying as well as everybody else about, 2 year to 5 year. We've revisited this many, many, many times on lots of different levels, not this particular issue, but as we continue to try to get to done, you know, there's always going to be something. But I really feel I have a lot of faith in the process that got us here to where we are. I think you can have very reasonable dialogue as we move forward as kind of being the lead
for this or, you know, the lead for staff on this. If there's an issue that someone brings to you, I've got a very good feeling that you're a reasonable guy. And if it's, you know, for obvious reasons, if you can't do this, we know what the intent is. We'll make an adjustment and make it work. So I'm very comfortable that we would be in that position. I know it's always open if people get nervous because it's not in the language and mm-hmm. it can be open to interpretation. And if Jim Burke vaporizes tomorrow, then what are we left with? So your tie's going to keep you here, though, so you're all right. But, so I don't want to try to get into too many details about that right now. I'm very satisfied with where we are. I don't know if we even need to make that, maybe with an EO approval if you guys are thinking that, but otherwise I think we should just move forward.
Mr. Carter.
Well, if... I think we ought to have the EO 30 days as conditions allow, as determined by the executive officer, provided there's an acceptable notice plan.
I mean, you need to look at, I'm sorry, but if you keep reading, the consequence for not fixing a site in 30 days, if you can't do it or you don't do it otherwise, is to update an ECP within 60 days. So, I mean, it's basically that anyway. If you can't get and fix the site, then you need to just add it to your ECP, which is equivalent of notifying the executive officer.
Okay. Can we point to the specific language just so everybody's clear about it?
Yeah, please.
So it's on page 15 of the order, and it's subcondition F, and it reads that if an NTMP landowner or their representative identifies a controllable sediment discharge source that's not been identified in the inventory referred to in Section A, regardless of whether the area is covered under an active NTO or prescribed maintenance period, the NTMP landowner shall implement corrective actions as soon as feasible following discovery. And it then goes on to say that if they cannot implement that repair within that 30-day window, then within a 60-day period, need to update the erosion control plan. So believe that it does say within, if feasible, and if not, update the ECP.
And they wouldn't even need EO approval. I mean, really, an updated ECP is a fairly, you send in a short document, not even a document. We've developed a map point table with Cal Fire, and it can just be this new site, here's where it is, here's the implementation schedule. That's why implementation schedules has a lot of flexibility built in for, in recognition of sites aren't always accessible. So I think that there is a process.
Mr. Corbett?
I just wanted to go into the actual legal structure of the permit. I thought we handled exceedingly well going from a waiver where you can specify the manner of compliance to waste discharge requirement where that's touchier. And, of course, the referencing in and making a requirement of compliance force practice rules is a great way to handle it. And then I thought the parts that remained are sort of traditional water quality elements, and so I was very happy with that. I wanted to point out two or three places, and it doesn't matter too much because 99% are listed anadromous fish species, but we, of course, care about others. But I want to say that is very carefully provided for in several other areas in the permit. One, you've got to comply with the basin plan. And then two, if you place sediment, dirt, silt where it could affect beneficial uses, sort of straight out classic Port of Cologne, then that is not allowed. And so that makes sure that it covers a full range of anadromous fish species. And again, we went back to the ground of the Port of Cologne Act, a privilege, not a right. And yet we were able to work with the Forest Practices Act where it is a right. And so I thought this was well put together structurally. And I think it's a good model for other forest practice items, just from a regulatory standpoint.
Thank you.
You have a motion and a second. We actually do have a motion and a second. I think that was, thank you, by the way, for the clarification, both Sam and Matt. Thankful for having that clarification to my concern. So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? You're there.
You're there.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, by the way, everybody that has done this process, our staff, participating agencies, landowners, interested parties. It's been a long road, and thank you very much. We're going to take a 10-minute break to 3 o'clock and come back with item number 11.